Joe Fisher, the voice of Vanderbilt, joining us now. Joe, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and as always, welcome back.
Merry Christmas, Johnny. Good to be with you, as always.
Hey, when I throw out names like that, I'm sure over your course of doing and being the play-by-play voice of Vanderbilt, what now, 21 years, have your paths crossed, or your path crossed with several of these individuals?
It's interesting because a number of those places I have never been, and it's interesting. We're going to end up going to Oklahoma. I've never done a game in the state of Oklahoma, so I'm looking forward to that. You know, that's coming up. I've never been to Clemson for a game. I've been a lot of places. I mean, you know, we did a game in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, you know, a year ago. So I've been to a lot of those places, but it's always fun for me to go someplace that I've never been before and get a chance to run into people that I've never had the chance to meet before. So I'm looking forward to it.
When I worked in college athletics, I had a weird tradition that I started, mainly because when you're on the road, you got some free time, especially the shoot around or the practice session the day before a basketball game. So I started shooting baskets in some of the top arenas across the country, historic ones, whether, you know, trips to Indiana or trips to Poly Pavilion with UCLA. I mean, so it was a nice growing list of places that I've actually shot baskets on the home court, per se.
No, I totally understand that. I have kept a list, as a matter of fact, of places where I have done games, states where I've done games, cities where I've done games, and tried to keep a list and try to see how many states maybe I have not quite hit yet. Like I said, I'm going to get the opportunity to take care of Oklahoma coming up. There aren't many, but there are a few. But I think that's always fun. North Dakota's on the list, obviously. Alaska is on the list. Other than that, we've pretty much covered them all.
You know, there's when we look at the SEC participations in bowl games this year, we get a little bit of both sides. You know, teams have not seen each other often, and we've got, you know, where, you know, teams have faced off numerous times. But first meetings, for example, in the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl with Auburn, Purdue. Mm-hmm. The same thing applies with LSU, Central Florida, Mississippi State, Iowa, and Texas A&M and North Carolina State. Vanderbilt versus Baylor, this will be only the third meeting, and I'm pretty sure that you nor myself, we were not around then, as the last time these two teams were on the football field together, 1954, was back-to-back years in 53-54, Baylor leading the series 2-0, but a lot of things have changed for both of these programs since then.
Yep, that was just a little bit before me. Not a lot, but a little bit. But I think what's interesting, Johnny, about this, and I was talking to some folks earlier, you run into bowl games where you have teams that limp into the bowl season, you know, that, you know, they lose on the stretch and they don't get where they want to be or they don't meet the expectations that they had. And so you see teams kind of go to bowl games just because they have to, not necessarily because they want to. That's not the case with this bowl game for either team. I think Vanderbilt and Baylor are both genuinely thrilled to be there, both excited about being there. Both, I believe, feel like they're playing their best football, you know, here at the end of the year, that they've gotten themselves together to where they think they need to be. And so I think this will be a very exciting game. I think the other factor is, from our standpoint, it's a primetime game. You know, it is, I think it's the only bowl game, only college bowl game going on at that time.
It is. You're right.
So you're gonna get a lot of attention coast to coast. I really think this has a chance to be a lot of fun to watch. I think both teams are going to be fired up and ready to play and looking forward to it.
And plus, if you look at the other games that afternoon, nice lead up because the Hurricanes of Miami playing Wisconsin, but that's a 4:15 game. So, and I'm sure they'll be heavily promoting the game between Vanderbilt and Baylor as well. So you've got nice lead ins because it'll be like the third of three games that day, but you got the stage to yourself. Let's look at Vanderbilt, and it's one game away from saying goodbye to Kyle Shermer. And, you know, I moved to Nashville back in 86 and had a chance and opportunity to cover a lot of Vanderbilt teams over the years and meet a lot of the players. you'll be hard-pressed to find anybody that, you know, represents Vanderbilt not only on the football field but off the field like Kyle Shurmur has. A class act. I like his attitude, not buying in that 6-6 is great, always feeling like, you know, even 2 years ago talking about how the, you know, unfinished business in a lot of those games. And I just think that when you look at Vanderbilt football and you think about a program that can continue to raise that bar, you can thank individuals like a Kyle Shurmur per se.
Well, there's no question, Johnny. I mean, he's already written his name into the record books in a number of areas. He has a chance to write it into a few more if things go well in this bowl game. Certainly, he has an opportunity to be our all-time career passing leader to move ahead of Jay Cutler. But I think what I will remember, a number of things, and one is, you know, Andy Ludwig, our offensive coordinator, I think really kind of gave Kyle the keys to the car, you know, and said, you know, we're going to call some plays and we're going to do some things, but you have the opportunity when you go to the line of scrimmage, if you see something you want to change, do it. Make a change. You call the play. I think that message was sent right off the bat. In fact, our first game this year against MTSU, if you'll remember, on the first offensive possession, we have a fourth down. We're at like the 30-yard line, I guess, for Middle Tennessee. And they decide to go for it. Kyle came to the line of scrimmage, checked out of the play they had called, and called another one that went for a 30-yard touchdown run. And I think that kind of set the message that, you know, he understands what they're looking for. He's in control of that. And the coaches gave him a tremendous amount of autonomy to make those decisions. He can make all the throws. He's probably not the strongest arm quarterback, but he's got a very strong arm. And so he may be not the most mobile quarterback, but he's mobile enough, you know, to buy himself time to make plays. And I think he certainly has an opportunity to play at the next level. And I can tell you this, having talked to him, you know, on numerous occasions, obviously, including recently, this is a very important game to him. You know, he wants to go out on top. He wants to go out a winner. He wants to win that bowl game, you know, and finish his career. So there is a tremendous amount of motivation for him to drive this team.
Joe Fisher, the voice of the Commodores, joining us. You know, I heard your story earlier. You were relating to Greg Pogue on One-on-One with Greg Pogue earlier this morning, and it was your very first game broadcasting Vanderbilt football as the play-by-play voice of Vanderbilt. And, you know, I go from that to where we are today, because if you asked Kyle Shurmur, any of the players for Vanderbilt, the difference to me is, you know, you see 6-6 and you're happy, right? You're going bowling. You're playing Baylor in this game. But I also love the extra part, and we alluded to this earlier, the fact that if you ask Kyle Shurmur, for example, he will also talk about, you know, a loss to Missouri, a game that they should have won. A loss to Kentucky, a game that they could have won. The way that they had the lead against Florida and allowed it to slip away in the fourth quarter. The opportunity on the road at Notre Dame back in September with a chance driving for the winning touchdown. And that's the part that I like, where 6-6 does not have to be the ceiling. 6-6 is just the starting point as far as getting that sixth win and then building upon that. And I think that bodes well for the future of Vanderbilt football as long as you keep that attitude.
Yeah, I think 6-6 is the floor, not the ceiling, you know, to be honest with you. And it's been interesting to hear these guys talk about this process. And when you think about this team, and as we were, you know, flashing back, you know, 21 years ago, there were games, and I admit this now, and you didn't talk about it much then, but there were games where you would go to the stadium and realize that they had no chance to win. I mean, you knew when you were going there, they have no possibility of winning this game. Those days are long gone. And when you start thinking about how that happened, certainly David Williams is a big part of that. Certainly Bobby Johnson is a big part of that. Certainly, James Franklin is a big part of that. Now, Derek Mason. But I don't think there's ever a day where this Vanderbilt football team rolls into any place, and I don't care where it is, and thinks they have no chance. I believe they fully believe they have a chance. And I think the other change in it is I believe the opponents think the same thing. You know, I think it was clear, you know, quite a number of years ago, you could tell there were opponents that didn't really take it seriously. They knew just on sheer talent alone, We don't really have to worry about this one very much. We can kind of focus on next week's opponent, get a little jump on them because we don't have to worry about this. That is not the case, you know, anymore with a Vanderbilt, nor with, quite frankly, any team in the Southeastern Conference. I think the way this conference has developed, but it's been a lot of fun to watch this develop to the point where it is now, where, you know, you were talking about the near misses, and certainly a near miss at Notre Dame, and had the lead against Florida, and you could argue whether if Keyshawn Vaughn didn't get injured in that game early, maybe they go ahead and win that game against the Gators. Had a great chance against Kentucky. You've got all those opportunities. I just think this is a team that believes now that they can win every time they take the field, and that's what you want as a fan. You want to believe that your team can compete every time they go out there, and I believe Vanderbilt's given them that.
Joe, one more final question before we let you go. What does it mean to you personally to be the voice of Vanderbilt?
Oh, my goodness. Well, to have grown up in Nashville and had the opportunity to grow up and listen to, you know, the likes of Paul Eales for so many years here, and it strikes me now and then to realize how fortunate I am to have the opportunity to sit and be the voice of a Southeastern Conference team. And then the other side of it is to have been here at a time when they've arguably had their most success. You know, we had gone, 26 years without a bowl game, you know, from 1982 to 2008, and now this will be my sixth bowl game in 10 years. To have been to NCAA tournaments, to have been to a College World Series, to have been to three of them, to have won a national championship, to call a national championship in baseball. To be a part of a program that is clearly competitive across the board is very, very special. And then from my standpoint, Johnny, and I know you can appreciate this, to do it in my hometown makes it something I could not have ever imagined. This has been more than I could have ever hoped for. And hopefully they'll have me around for a few more years, because I think there's a lot left to do.
Yeah, I kind of totally agree with you, especially about being in your hometown, because I kind of look at Nashville as my hometown in the sense that I've spent like 95% of my adult life here in Nashville. I grew up, I spent the productive years of my life here in Nashville, so I can totally relate to that. Hey, Joe, thank you for taking time out with us. We always love your calls on games. Once again, Merry Christmas to you and your family, and be safe in your travels to Houston.
Thank you, Johnny. Always good to be with you. Merry Christmas.